getting you up there when you weren't doing well at the hospital, and to know you're here tonight, that says a lot. It says you're doing better, so appreciate Ms. Shirley and her staying there with you, and of course, yeah. The wife does, but that's refreshing to us younger couples to see that, hanging in there like you do. And I appreciate that. Good to have y'all. I do want to, most of you know, I'm sure, but Nancy McClendon's father, Roy, did pass away. I believe it was Monday, late Sunday night or Monday, and I just texted her about arrangements, and but I believe everything's going to be up in Knoxville, Tennessee. So visitation is tomorrow from 5 to 7, and service will be at 7 at Bridges Funeral Home in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this till Nancy told me, but in Tennessee, they have your funeral, and the next day they bury you. And so at least in this case, they are. And then he'll be buried on Friday at 11. So pray for Miss Nancy and family on that. But she's doing good. Her dad, Roy, Nancy, and her brother, Gary, they played some gospel music around his bed when it was getting close. And his feet started moving, and, you know, and he was a, of course, he was a saved man, and he's in heaven, so that's a blessing. I was given a note here about annual ladies WMU breakfast money for missionaries, Saturday, March the 2nd, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. That's at Faith Baptist Temple, High Lucas Springs Road, if anybody's interested, ladies. Ladies are interested in that. And, of course, I'm sure they won't kick any men out that showed up. But, if anybody's interested in that, that's right here. Remember Brother Jack's brother. Did you say he's a Tanner and he had a stroke?
Tanner, yeah, he's had a little stroke, and they've admitted him. Can't raise his right arm, or having a hard time raising his right arm, so they're watching him.
Let's remember Bill Jack's brother as he gets well from this. I asked Brother Jack to speak for me tonight. Last time we were interrupted by somebody from the outside darting in and had to usher him outside. And so, and two, we have till next Friday to get out of our home, so I've been doing a lot of moving this week. And I'll say this, I'll be meddling if I go with Brother.
Take that.
Took a load to the Cobb County dump today. And normally it's like, you know, $7 to $10. They charge me $50 to make my dump.
Good grief, what do you have in there?
Before up on the scale, bro.
Had a couple elephants in there.
Anyway, they got a new law. If you're out of county and you go, they're going to do that upcharge because they're trying to make they're trying to make all their residents only for that for Cobb County, Pauline County, for Paul and Douglasville. And so anyway, we're doing good on that, on transitioning from home to home. But I tell you right now, I do not miss moving. I do not miss moving. But anyway.
Before you start, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if somebody's going to know. I'm talking to Ms. Barbara last night, and I believe Barbara Ann was going to get to come home. Are we home last night? She was supposed to, according to Ms. Barbara last night, she was supposed to get to come home, of course, by ambulance. Whenever they dismiss her. So I don't know late last night or early this morning, but last night in conversation, she was supposed to be getting to come home. So either last night or this morning or sometime, or maybe today, she was supposed to be coming back home.
Joyce Manning, let's remember the McRichards.
Bob Legend.
somewhere. I get that too. Thank you for that. Remember Jubilee. Kicking off Sunday. And I talked to every preacher but Kenny Cockendall. And so I said, you know what? I've tried to call him in the evenings. I've tried to call him at lunchtime. And this morning I got up pretty early, but I texted him at 6 a.m. because I know he's a runner. And so, sure enough, he texted me right back at 6 a.m. Yeah. And so, Kenny Cockendall, he's good to go. You know,
hey, nothing going out, but ain't nothing going.
If the speaker hadn't got here yet. Brother Jack's teaching.
Yeah, I know he is.
So we'll get there. We'll get there in a second. By the way, what's the back of your shirt?
Show your shirt, Jack. Harold. Turn around. Stand up so they read it.
Run the old man, okay.
I
agree with you.
He's a
at least you admit it, Harold. Sometimes I guess letting get control of you, you know.
Yeah, we all do.
What can I say? Letting y'all know now.
All right, well, let's pray, and we'll turn it over.
Y'all remember our son-in-law, he's supposed to have hip surgery on Monday. Carrie, my man says, Mom, she's supposed to have some kind of surgery tomorrow.
Sure.
Rebecca Ashworth sent me a message today, and she said,
Harold,
I'm found two masses. She's got to go for a box, and she did two mammograms and an ultrasound, and now they're setting her up for a box. She is scared to death.
All right. Well, let's remember all these requests, and remember Jubilee. It's going to be a great week. Thank you for everybody taking part, as you always have, Jubilee. And let's pray for a great week. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for your people tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for such a good spirit here, as it always is. Father, we pray for those in need of a touch from you, the great physician. You know who needs what. Lord, I would definitely leave someone out, but Lord, I laid a list before you, a prayer list of those who have had operations, those who are going to, those who are having x-rays. Those, dear Lord, who are back and forth from the hospital, dear God, those who are taking care of the loved ones that are hurting. Lord, you have grace for that. We pray for grace, pray for sufficient grace, new grace, your people, Lord. And Father, as we get ready to go into Jubilee, let us all come each and every night with open minds and open hearts to receive your word, Lord. Father, we know that a community can be changed one heart at a time. And so my prayer is, Lord, you start with me. And let us pray. Love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. We give Brother Jack tonight as he teaches, Lord. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jack.
Well, I tell you, it's always a privilege and an honor to get to stand up here and to teach. Thank you, Brother Justin. I didn't know what I was going to teach about. And I said, I'm not going to teach revelations. I'm not going to do prophecies because I teach that enough. I got to do something different. And I thought, well, what could we do? I mean, what could I say that would help us as a church, as individuals? And I thought, well, I'll get into James. James pretty well puts it down, you know, what you're supposed to be. But what's coming up next Sunday, or this coming Sunday? Jubilee. Okay, we get ready for Jubilee. We get the singers, we get the preachers, we all start getting ready. We're planning on cooking, what we're fixing up. We prepare for Jubilee. But what I want to tell you is that I'm going to give you seven reasons or seven things that we as individuals should know how to prepare for a revival. Okay? And we're going to start, and this is a personal evaluation. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I'm going to try to do this without my patch, so I might be leaning a little bit looking. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. For us to be ready, we ourselves have to have our hearts ready for revival and what the Lord would have us to do. That we could see people saved and then, you know, people's lives changed, rededicated. So in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, he says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves how that is in that Christ is in you. We have to know without a shadow of doubt that we're saved before we can ask of anything. You know, been out talking to people that just witnessing it, and they say, well, I pray every night. And then you go and say, well, you know, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? And they say, well, I don't know nothing about that, but I pray. And I say, man, your prayers ain't getting anywhere. You got to pray that prayer. So we're going to look at the personal evaluation, examine ourselves. I believe everybody in this room is saved. I have to, you know, say that because I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. But anyway, that's the first one. The second one is to repent of every known sin. Look at Isaiah 55, 6 through 7. These are kind of short verses, but they are exactly what we need at this time to get ready. In Isaiah 55, 6 through 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We need to be able to open the doors of heaven when we pray. We seek him with all matter of our life, what goes on. And he said, you know, that we do this and that we call upon him. He's waiting for us to call upon him. We're his children. So here we are getting ready to, you know, look at ourselves. We've already seen, you know, our personal evaluation, how, you know, I'm saved. I know that. But am I where God wants me to be? If I'm not where God wants me to be, then I'm not ready for revival. I can't help this church if I'm not. You know the song, Revive Us Again? Revive me again. When I looked at this, I said, now I'm going to be pointing fingers at people. And I thought, well, you got three coming back at you, so you can't say much, you know. And when I started looking at this, I didn't say amen. I said, oh, me. I you know, need some straightening up here. The third one is grieving. It says, start getting upset over your sins and getting sorry to God for hurting him most of all. Start getting upset over your sins and getting sorry to God for hurting him most of all. We hurt him when we sin. In Psalms 51, verse 3 and 4. Psalms 51, verse 3 and 4. That's my favorite. Psalms 51 is, I can't remember exactly where the verse is, but you know, David was talking about how he lived his life and what he had done. And that sadness and you know, sin had entered into life. And Psalms 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And that's what we need to do. Restore the joy, you know. We all get so worried about things and worried about life. But he said, you know, if you'll come to me, I'll help you with this. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. If we do that, if we acknowledge all of our transgressions and our sin, it's ever before me. If we can do that and just say, God, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me of everything right now where I'll be able to help people. Sometimes we think we're in shape to help people, and we're not. We're not in that position. God puts us in that position if we're willing to humble ourselves to Him and pray and seek His face on all matters of our life, whether it be, you know, good things or bad things. That's what He's telling us. All right, the fourth one says, forsake all habits and activities. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And Romans 14:23. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I think this is what the Lord would want us to look at tonight. Just we get our church ready, we get ourselves ready. And like I said, I've been praying over this. And I said, Lord, I'm in bad shape. You know, I have problems. Jackie can tell you, I'm not a good driver. I get upset with people. She said, you know, we need to pray for patience. I said, he'll put so much on me. I just get upset. But, you know, and some other things. But anyway, he said, forsake all habits and activities. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. No other reason, against thee. Okay, forsaking all the habits. We got habits as such as anger and bitterness. We got the flesh and lust. The Bible tells us, you know, what causes that. You know, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. You know, and people say, well, if you're saved, you don't do these things. Mm-mm. We do those things if we take our eyes off of God. We can do anything this world has if we don't trust God all the time. The love of the world. There's so much going on in this world, and this is what's ruining our kids today. They are so wrapped up in this world and doing things. It's hard to witness to young people. Believe me, it's hard to witness to them because the world has so much to offer. This is so humdrum to them, you know what I mean? But because of the world, a love of pleasure, you know. He said, if it's not a faith, it's sin. And I'm not talking about, you know, having things and doing things. It's what the world wants you to do. How the love of pleasure gets in, you know, into the life, into sin. And then he said, the love of money. All my life, I've had people walk up to me and say, you know what that Bible verse where it says, money is the root of all evil. And I say, no, it's not the money. It's the love of the money. It's ruined people. It's called people to be so greedy. And so we've looked at four things now, and we got three more to go. Excuse me. On the fifth one, he says, make right any wrongs between yourself and others. Uh-oh. That's kind of hard to do sometimes. Do you need to apologize to someone in your family, a friend, a neighbor, you know? And sometimes we do get in that shape. It has caused churches to split. It has ruined people's lives because of people holding on to something, and they won't go and say, you know, if I've done something to hurt you, I apologize. You'd be surprised what that would do to a person and to a church. And we all just, you know, we say things that might not be exactly right. We might say things that it just wasn't good, and they took it the wrong way, and we really didn't mean it that way. But if it hurt somebody, we need to apologize. And in the same thing, they need to apologize. So we're looking at this, and go to Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, then that's what he's telling us to do. When we pray, we say, Lord, if there's somebody that I have done wrong or I felt like I've done wrong, I ask for forgiveness of it and I ask for strength. And it takes strength sometimes to go to somebody and say, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize for what I said. But then also in a short verse, I'm going to read this, Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, do also do ye. Christ has forgiven us. And, you know, because of first, he died for our sins. But then he's also, every time we've gone to him, we said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. And he's forgiven us. He's the God of second chances. And I feel like, you know, when people do us wrong or situations come up, we as Christian men and women should have that heart to forgive a second time. You know, give them a second break. They'll get it right. So all this combined, this is what's going to help us to have a revival. If we'll take these thoughts and read these verses and just apply them to your life, when you go home, say, man, I did hurt somebody, and I need to go talk to them. If we come in here for revival and there's anger in our heart or we're thinking about something that's coming up, the Lord don't bless. Do you know you can hold back a service? Just one person. Sunday morning, if somebody comes in here and just, you know, upset with the world, upset with the family and all, and the preacher's preaching the message the best he can, you know, he's preaching God's word is coming out, but there's a hindrance in here, and the Holy Spirit can't have that freedom to flow through the church. We as a choir stand up and we sing and we try to prepare hearts, you know, to get the service ready. But there's always a hindrance. Satan knows what to do. He knows where to sit in the church. I don't know where all that came from, but y'all can have that. Okay, the sixth one is worship. And I'm just going to read some of this. And then you say, well, this is what I had to say, oh me, you know. I want to say amen, but oh me came out more than amen. How long has it been since you spent time with God in prayer? B, ask God to renew your commitment to prayer and Bible reading. C, beg God to help you keep the freshness and sweetness of Christ full in your life. Boy, if we could do that, we could change the world. We could unite together as a church. You know, it seemed like, to me, this is the way I feel. And I was telling Jackie, it feels like our church is uniting. Everything, you know, God knows what to do. God knows us, and he knows what we need. And that people are coming together more. And you see them, you know, talking more or wanting to do things. I'll take care of that, you know. Let me take care of that of the church, and y'all just go ahead and do what you do. The uniting. And he said that's what we're supposed to be, one body. And he talks about all the parts of a body. And that's another lesson that, you know, can be told. But we are one body and one Christ. He said there's one faith, one spirit. And we all worship him in spirit and in truth. Go to your prayer closet. What was that movie? War Room. I hadn't got an empty closet. Jackie moved in, she filled them all, and left me one. We had to buy a shed. We had to buy a shed, and I'll be going out there, y'all. but prayer room, that war room, that was such a good movie. And if we could get in that state of mind where we could just say, leave the world out of it. Go into a place that just you and God. I love to hear Brother Snyder when he'd say he had that little closet that he'd go into and get down on his knees and pray. I thought, I've never had one of those. I've talked to God, you know, in the middle of the night, but there's got to be a certain place that you and God can meet. And if mine's a shed, then that's where it'll be. But I know I got to go home with you. But, but anyway, that's what he says, you know, go to your prayer closet. And he says, and during your prayer closet, he said, let all else be set aside for now. Everything. Just leave it out. It's like you shut the door to the world, to all your problems, to all the sickness that you hear about, people wanting you to pray. Just say, this is you and I, Lord. Speak to me that I can revive my heart and get ready for revival, because we want to see people saved. We want to see people rededicate their life. Whether they be members of this church, if they walked in and just visiting and all, and they have a church, that they said, I haven't been doing right by my church. I haven't been doing right by my Lord. So that's the reason we have that prayer closet. It says, deal with yourself for now. Don't think of other people and their needs. I read that and I said, well, you know, that's when we go pray. But this is saying, get you right. You know, shut out everything, get you right. So I said, okay, that's another old me. It says, deal with yourself for now. Don't think of other people and their needs. All right, the third one says, let your appeal be built solely upon his mercy. When we pray, Lord, I'm down on my knees. You are the great Father. I'm nothing. And I've come to you for mercy with my life. Help me to get back where you want me to be, where I should be. And Jackie and our prayers that, Lord, help us to be where you want us to be so that we can help others. And I think our church is coming together more that way. And I'm so proud of it. I'm so glad to be part of it. Y'all, excuse me, I'm trying to see. Wrestle along with God for the needed blessings. And in that, revive us thyself. In Psalms 85:6, he says, wilt thou not rejoice? Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revive us that we may be able to rejoice in you again. I'm not saying everybody, you know, in this room is not where God wants them to be, but we all need to look at ourselves. You know, like I said, this is a personal evaluation. I'm looking at it, and like I said, I see places that I can work on for me. hold on a minute. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, in Psalms 143:10. Psalms 43:10.
43 or
143? I'm sorry, 143:10. For the sake of thy name, O Lord. Somebody read that for me if you want to.
143:10?
Yes, sir.
It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That's what I've got in.
Okay. And that's what he wants us to do. He says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art God. If we can get in that frame of mind, we're saved, but show me what you want me to do. I think it's, I forgot, Paul wrote it, where he said, when you pray, pray for wisdom and strength. Pray for wisdom in God's word, what he has for you to see it, and then the strength to go out and do it. To take a stand in the days that we're living in, we as Christians are going to have to take a stand. this world doesn't want Christians anymore. We're getting to be the minority. And we got to stand for our Lord. I think we're at a window of grace. And he's calling us as Christians to stand with our president, with our nation, for God and our country. I'm not waving the flag. That just came out. I'll just share that with you. That would open the heavens. The second one is, that would open the heavens and come down. What a verse. Isaiah 64:1. He's saying that his presence would fill the hearts of the people who wants to be revived, that souls would be saved, people rededicate their lives back to God. He said, I'll open heaven. Isaiah 64:1. Jackie, can you read that for us?
He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence.
The word rend means to tear, tear open, make large, but it's to open. He said, if you get in this shape and you praying to me, he said, I'll open heaven. I'll open heaven on this revival. People won't be able to stand it. They'll be running all over the place, getting saved, getting their hearts right. Who knows? It's not for us to know. It's for us to act upon, for us to be ready. Whatever God does, he said, and with that, he said, souls can be saved. Revived hearts of people can come back to me. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for his church. The church is kind of just getting away from him because of, like we talked about, the worldly things, what goes on now with the money and, you know, and the worldly pleasures. He said, you know, I'll open heaven to you. And individually, you ever prayed at night? And I've had many times the Lord wake me up in the middle of the night and say, you know, let's talk. And then I feel so humble. I feel like, you know, I'm minute compared to a God of the universe. What he can do and that what he has done and created. And then he says, I'm going to listen to you. You know, you're mine. I'm going to listen to you. So that's what we need. When we get our hearts ready, when we get ourselves where God can use us, he said, I'll open the door of heaven. I'll open it up and it will bless you. Okay, this is the seventh one. Anticipate, believe. Somebody keep up the time for me. I don't have anything. We're good? Okay, because we might have went through this pretty fast. But it says anticipate, believe. Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Wait expectantly like a groom does for his bride. Everybody there? He said, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. A lot of people turn that around and say, boy, if he'd just give me a new car, I would be so happy and love God. No, that ain't the desire. He said, the desires is my desires. He said, what things soever ye desire. And it's talking about understanding the Bible in your life, what would you desire for God to do for you? And you say, boy, I would love to be a great witness for you. I would love to do this or that. And he says, believe. Believe it and be done. It's just that simple. That's what he tells us. Okay, it says, revival comes not when the guest preacher arrives, but when God personally shows up and is allowed to do his work in our hearts, lives, homes, and minds. Then prayers can be answered. Believe it. Believe things are going to happen. Believe this Jubilee And there's been great jubilees. I only come here, I've been here since 2008. I know there's been jubilees way before I got here. And they've been great. I've heard some of the stories. But you know, this could be the greatest jubilee of all. If we saw souls saved, one soul would be great. And we pray for that every Sunday, don't we, Brother David? We pray and say, Lord, save someone today. And that's our heart. But what if we got here at Jubilee, everybody's heart's ready, had, you know, got their life straightened out, look, you know, personal, take the evaluation of yourself, and ready to come in here for Jubilee? There's no telling what God can do. He'll open the doors of heaven. It says, be hungry for God to work in your life. Look forward to a church passionate about living for Jesus and walking faithfully with Him in prayer every day and His Word every day. I think that's our church. I think that's what we want. Let me read that again. Being hungry for God to work in your life. Are you hungry for God? You know. Say, Lord, I just don't feel like I'm accomplishing things. You know, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. And it says, look forward to a church passionate about living for Jesus and walking faithfully. And with Him in prayer every day and in His Word every day. I looked at that and I said, I'm not every day. I'm being honest. You know, I let things bother me sometimes. Sometimes I get too busy. And that's wrong. He said, you can do right and still be wrong. You know, it's not what God wants. We feel like we're doing right. And that's when we go to Him and ask Him, you know, walking faithfully with Him in prayer and in His Word every day. Don't look what is stopping us, but rather focus on what we must do so that God can conquer our hardest of hearts and our biggest problems. Boy, that says a lot right there. Don't look at what's stopping us, but rather focus on what we must do. Brother David had something he told me today, you know, and we're getting ready for Jubilee, and now we got a problem. We got leaks in the ceiling, and we can't do anything to have the Jubilee. But it's something that, you know, David has to work on. Us guys have to decide what we're going to do. Satan wants to stop this Jubilee. He does, and anything he can. He might cause sickness to come in. There's no telling. But we can't let him just take over. If we believe in our heart, and that we're not going to let him stop us, but we're going to focus on what we must do that God can conquer. It ain't about us. It's about what God can do. What God can do to somebody's life that don't know him and the free pardon of sin. What he can do to a church that would change it to give them that love for one another again. Watch it grow and become a stopping place here for the community to come in that lives out in the world. And that some of them don't even understand about Jesus, don't even know. But they could come in here and hear the true gospel and walk in and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think that is the most important thing for us. We need to get our hearts right, y'all. And we need to be where God wants us to be. In conclusion, a revival preparation is not a formula. This, what I gave you, is not a formula. But what it is, it's an attitude. What kind of attitude are you going to come in here with for God? You know, I could say, okay, I'm going to do this. I hadn't done that, but I'm going to. Well, that's kind of rough, but I'm going to try. It's not a formula. It's you giving your heart to God, opening up. And it's our attitude. It's our attitude not toward one another, but toward Him. Say, Lord, this is your Jubilee. This is not our Jubilee. Have your way with it. It is looking up to God, praying to God, and staying at it until revival comes. This is what we need to pray. Praying to God and staying at it, at what all we're going to do. Like I said, and preparing ourselves, and revival comes. It won't come till we work through the seven steps and prepare our hearts for revival. That's what I had for tonight. I hope it helped you. It helped me. Like I said, when you know I'm pointing your finger at, three's coming back at me, and I understand what preachers, you know, go through. And I don't claim to be a preacher. I just teach. And I thought these seven steps will help us all so much. And I thank y'all. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for letting me stumble through this. Like I said, I couldn't see too good with it. But thank y'all so much. And I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Justin.